everyone. Welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us. We are so glad that you are along, whether you're on the YouTube America TV network or on Biz Talk Radio. Ahead this hour, our friend Kristen Sunana Walker of the Mental Health News Radio Network will be talking to us about mental health care for senior citizens. We chatted with her a few days ago about this and just felt there was so much more that we wanted to get into. And she's agreed to come on back and talk about these very specific things, whether you're a senior citizen, whether you are a caretaker for your parents or just looking out for them. There's a lot of complexities that go into it, and we will look into those with her. Dr. Michael Mantel, the author of The Link Is What You Think, will be in to talk about bullying. And, you know, we've talked about this before on America Trends as well, but, you know, month by month, year by year, you could be someone who is a victim of it or a parent of someone, and it's just coming up and you're just now dealing with it. So it's always worth chatting about. We also have Senator Ted Harvey, of former state senator from Colorado, now head of the Committee to Defend the President. He will be in to talk about the political headlines of the day, including all the big brouhaha with President Trump and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer from the other day, where he walked into an infrastructure meeting and walked out because they were all about the impeachment thing. We'll talk about whether they really want to impeach or they just want voters to be sort of off kilter for the 2020 election. So that is ahead. Also, a new installation of the Terminator franchise is coming out, and the trailer dropped today. You have it trending. We will give a look for you in just a few moments. But first, trending in the news, across the Midwest, a band of strong thunderstorms across, well, the Plains and Midwest actually spawned just a wave of tornadoes. This is a amateur video sort of slowed down to show you just what people were looking at and seeing. How scary is that in your backyard? And in Jefferson City, Missouri, they had quite a bit of damage. The mayor today gave an update on recovery efforts going on after a violent tornado there caused major, major damage to the city.
We're seeing a lot of damage. A lot of trees are down, big trees, limbs everywhere. There's a lot of cleanup going on right now. There's a lot of damage to homes. Windows are broken out everywhere. Roofs damaged. Some roofs are half blown off of homes and businesses. Extensive damage to the businesses that were within this path, and it was a fairly large path that almost crossed from one end of our city to the other. So quite a bit of damage.
Boy, a lot of prayers needed for their cleanup there in Jeff City and beyond in the Plains and in the Midwest. Remember the Jesse Smollett case? He's that Empire actor who back in January said that he was attacked by two white guys in MAGA hats. And it was then said by Chicago police, this was a big fat hoax. New update today, a judge has ruled that the records for this case must be unsealed. This is the case file and the aborted prosecution of the Empire actor. A big victory for Chicago Tribune and other news organizations that wanted to see this stuff. His attorney had succeeded in sealing the court records. And so that is the next that's the next installation in this whole story. And people are trending on Twitter and beyond. And, you know, people had a lot to say about it. So Smollett trending as well. And there you're updated on the Empire actor. Want to tell you this holiday weekend, we told you a few months back about this great movie, documentary called They Shall Not Grow Old. It is about the First World War. And what they do is they take old footage and they colorize it. And it really can, it touches your brain and heart and soul in a brand new way. And we had told you about it because they unveiled it in theaters for only not one night, but two back in December. Well, many cities and venues around the country are showing it again, coming up on Memorial Day and throughout the weekend. So we wanted to just let you know to check your local listings. And here's a bit of a look as we head to break.
I was 16 years old and my father allowed me to go.
I was just turned 17 at the time.
I was 16.
I was 15 years.
When they came to us, they were frightened children and had to be made into soldiers.
Well, boys, here he comes.
Give me your, give me your, give me your attention, baby.
And then I have Nancy Pelosi go out and say that the President of the United States engaged in a cover-up. Now, We've had a House investigation. We have Senate investigations. We have investigations like nobody's ever had before, and there's nothing, we did nothing wrong. They would have loved to have said we colluded. They would have loved it. These people were out to get us. The Republican Party and President Trump. They were out to get us. This was a one-sided, horrible thing. The bottom line is they said there's no collusion. No collusion with Russia.
A face-off between President Trump and Democratic leaders yesterday. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer scheduled for a meeting with him just about infrastructure, as he said he thought that it would be an easy policy to sort of establish some new things with and create some new, wonderful infrastructure around the U.S. There's a lot to do. However, President Trump did find out that the night before, he found out that the Democrats were to meet earlier that day to talk about impeachment. So, a lot going on. He apparently walked in to talk to them and told them, you know, unless you stop these investigations, blah, blah, blah. And he walked out and held that press conference in the Rose Garden, just an impromptu one with the press. The press was told to go there, and they didn't know why, but then they certainly found out. We are with our friend of the show, Senator Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defend the President. And what did you think, Ted, when this was all going down on Wednesday?
Well, I think the president telegraphed this a long time ago when he said either we can stop these foolish investigations or we're going to have to fight back. And the Democrats have continued this ridiculous charade. The president yesterday talked about how the House did their investigation, the Senate did their investigation, and there was nothing there. But Mueller did his investigation for 20 months. And if you read that report, and I don't believe Nancy Pelosi has read the report. I don't believe many in the Democrat Party has read the report. It talks about how the FBI had spent 10 months prior to Mueller being put in place investigating any collusion. And Comey had told the president on numerous occasions prior to him being fired that there was no evidence of collusion. If you look at the text messages between Strzok and Page, they said there was nothing there. So the FBI knew that there was nothing there. Comey knew that there was nothing there. The Mueller report came out and said that there was nothing there. Yet Mueller went on for 20 months with this investigation, which was a complete ridiculous charade. He should have known literally in the first week after looking at all of the 10 months worth of evidence that the FBI had come up with, that there had been no collusion. A real good question is, why did Mueller push it off for another 20 months? I believe he did to push it to the 2018 elections so that there would be this cloud over the administration and over the Republican Party so that the Democrats would win the 2018 congressional elections. But now you have the Democrats who aren't finished with that. They said, okay, there wasn't any collusion. We agree with that. But there may have been some obstruction of justice. So we need to subpoena your tax returns to talk about obstruction of justice. We need to subpoena your bank accounts to talk about obstruction of justice. Why would you need all of these things to look at obstruction of justice? Everybody knows what the president did. He allowed the Mueller investigation to go forward. He allowed all of his staff to talk to the Mueller report without any executive privilege being put in place. He handed over millions of pages of documents to the Mueller investigation, and it went forward to the end, 20 months to the end, and nothing came out of any collusions. How can you say that there was obstruction of justice when he gave all of the information and allowed the Mueller report to go forward? The only thing they've got is that the Mueller report didn't come back with he didn't obstruct justice. So now we have all of this investigation, which is nothing more than political theater to go into the 2020 elections. And the president's fed up with it. He's not going to do it anymore.
It really
does. I don't blame him.
Right. It really does seem like dirty pool, because as you say, he could have screamed executive privilege many times on many accounts. He didn't. And you know, some people are saying the Democrats don't really want to impeach Trump. They just want it in voters' mind that, oh, he should be.
Well, I want them to go forward with it, actually. If you look at all of the polling numbers, this investigation, the Mueller report, And impeachment is not even in the top 10 things that voters are concerned about going into the 2020 elections. And I want the Democrats to go forward with it just to show the American people how out of touch and how radical these leftist Democrats are that are in control of the United States Congress. I mean, you look at Maxine Waters. I mean, what a whack job. And she is the one leading up one of these investigations in her committee. I want the American people to see who the face of the Democrat Party is. And let's go forward into 2020 with them having an investigation in impeachment when we've already spent 20 months and $40 million in the Mueller investigation.
So was it today that Nancy Pelosi said that impeachment, these investigations may take Democrats to a place where impeachment is unavoidable? So she sort of doubled down on her cover-up claim. Is that what happened today?
Well, I think she's about to get rolled. I think that she has a caucus that is so out of touch with the American people that were bought and paid for by Tom Steyer, who put $70 million into getting these leftists elected, and he wants a return on his investment. He is demanding of them, and they are demanding of Speaker Pelosi that there be an impeachment hearings. That's why she is about to get rolled. If she does not move forward on this, then there's going to elect a new Speaker of the House. And, you know, let's have that fight. Let's see the Democrats totally implode. I think it's great for the Republican Party. And in the end, it will be great for America to show the American people just how far out of touch the Democrat Party has become. They don't represent your moderate Democrats. They don't represent your unaffiliated voters. They represent the most far left-wing extremists in America today. And that's only good for America if we can show them who the Democrats really are.
It will be really interesting to see who comes out and what that Democratic base really feels. Are they frustrated with the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes? And you know, some of them are going to be upset with Bernie Sanders and the whole socialism push, but others just really like Bernie. We know that. Biden's in the lead right now. Polls going up and down. Ted, we appreciate your time for us here at America Trends. How can we find you at your website and support what you're doing?
Thank you. Please go to the committeetodefendthepresident.com. Go to our Facebook page as well, or defend_Trump on Twitter.
Senator Ted, so great to see you. We'll see you back here next time on America Trends.
Better than birds of a feather, you and me. We change the weather.
Welcome back to America Trends. We are always so pleased when Kristen Sonata Walker of the Mental Health News Radio Network has time for us. Kristen has spent decades working toward better mental health for everybody. And she had a dream. She made it come true. She started this network with hundreds of podcasts, multiple podcasters downloaded in over 170 countries. And Kristen, welcome back to America Trends. I know you started out with so many things, but you also dedicated your time to work on a suicide hotline. And you really have lended your life to helping other people. And you and I chatted a few days back, and one of the topics was about senior citizens and mental health. And we just felt that we didn't give enough time to it. And we said, we've got to talk more because there's so much complexity to it. So thank you for coming back to chat about that.
Absolutely. One of my favorite activities, along with the suicide hotline, which I wouldn't say that's a favorite. I felt good about what I was doing, but one that was a favorite was working with therapy dogs and going in and out of rest homes, you know, senior citizen homes and things like that. So it was wonderful to do that work and also get a bird's eye view of the kinds of issues that senior citizens have when it comes to their mental health.
That's so interesting. It just so happens that when I was a kid, my family and I owned, managed, and resided in a retirement community. And so I got an up close look too at an early time in my life. And you don't really get it until later and you realize what you've seen up close and personally. And it's, you know, it's something that affects so many people, but everyone, kids, grandkids who are looking out for their loved ones. And there's just so much for us to know. I mean, you probably have great words for seniors themselves, but also things to watch out for their kids and grandkids in ways that they can support their seniors as they're going through life changes that might be affecting their mental health.
Yeah, it's interesting because there are so many of them that talk about this one topic, which is a huge deal for them, because they have no, you know, they didn't grow up with social media. They didn't grow up with the internet the way that kids today have. So there's a huge gap in the ability to understand, and also the patience level of our, you know, Gen Z generation, because they're, we've talked about it on many other shows. They have, you know, their dopamine response is much higher because of all of their social media activity. And that makes it so that they're looking for that instant gratification. And when you're dealing with senior citizens, a lot of that is about patience. So there's much less patience. And what concerns a lot of senior citizens that I've had on my show and the professionals that work with them is, how are they going to be taken care of? How is my generation going to be taken care of by a younger generation that is showing less and less patience, because it's been designed by social media to for them to have less patience?
And there's so much to worry about. I don't even know what the top things are. When you have senior citizens, you have new physical ailments. And when you have chronic pain, that's a whole new level of affecting your mental health as well. There are issues of I've seen people in my family, they've been moved from the home they've been with their whole lives. And they get moved into a retirement community, and they're made to do it because there's no other choice. So there's that. And then there's also things like, when you get to a certain point, dementia. And I don't even know where to start. And you're able to help people with these podcasts you do. So I hope people go to your network to check. But what can you tell our viewers now that might give them some sort of relief or feeling like they can help their loved ones or even help themselves, Kristen?
Well, I'd say for helping themselves, paying attention to your health, obviously, paying attention to signs of dementia and understanding that this may be a part of, you know, what you're going to experience as a senior citizen. And I'm sorry, I'm some young person talking about this, but it runs in my family too. So that's a concern of mine. About 65 is when I'll start really looking at, is this going to be something I have a problem with? So I think a lot of it is knowing that that's in your family history and preparing yourself for the scariness of that, the depression that might come with that. So preparing yourself ahead of time, talking to your kids about how the reality is mom and dad may have this, and this is what you're going to need to do to help us through that time. And also that you might need to go to counseling as well, or that we come to counseling together to talk about a plan of action for when or if this is going to happen.
Kristen Sunata Walker is the CEO of the Mental Health News Radio Network. And again, go to her website, mentalhealthnewsradio.com, to check out all these podcasts. She's interviewed leaders in the behavioral health community, CEOs, tech companies, counselors, best-selling authors, global experts in the field of behavioral health. And again, over 170 countries. Check in with her all the time, and she's really dedicated herself to helping other people. I imagine it's also an issue, Kristen, when you get to a certain age and you start losing the people around you, because people start, frankly, the cycle of life, what's natural, your friends die off at a certain age, and that's a whole other thing.
There are so many programs out there that talk about the word resilience, and that word is, it means many things, especially with our veterans, but in terms of senior citizens, it means the ability to handle things like your friends passing away around you and going through a continual grief process that's definitely sped up as you get older, and being able to be resilient through those things. And how you do that is support groups, speaking to your friends about this, going through that grieving process together, and going to counseling if needed, and maybe even medication to help you through those times also.
Yeah, don't be afraid to get checked.
Absolutely, absolutely. Check in with a counselor, check in with a psychiatrist, make sure, you know, this feeling of sadness, which can happen with grief, it can turn into depression. There's a period of obvious sadness around the passing away of someone or multiple people, but when it hangs around longer than it should, definitely go in and, you know, see someone about this.
Have you seen a difference? I just sort of feel, I always like to look at the history of things and how we react to things and the waves of Americans that have come through. And what I mean, Kristen, is, you know, we had the World War II generation where you just stiff upper lip, right?
Right.
But the people who are coming to be aging now are the late 60s, hippies, let's feel good. Let's talk about our spirituality. Let's talk about what our thoughts are and psychology. And I feel like this might be a generation that is more open to saying, you know what, maybe I do need to get some help. And they're less likely to be so stubborn as to say, I can handle this on my own, because a lot of times we just can't, and it does not hurt to get help.
That's what's interesting. The older generation does feel much more open about it. It's the younger generation now that has less patience. So, and it used to be flip-flopped because, you know, kids were raised to respect your elders and so on. And now a lot of kids are raised more, will question everybody, question everything. And then, you know, that social media piece and, you know, tech usage piece comes into play too. So it's kind of interesting how things have flip-flopped, and not in a good way.
About 30 seconds. Any more last words that you can give to whether it's the seniors or the people that are trying to look out for them? Words of encouragement and words of this might be something you should look into. As you say, counseling, meds, you know, it just might be the thing to help.
Absolutely. Keep active. I don't know that many senior citizens anymore that talk about retirement. Retirement is kind of a thing of the past in many ways. It doesn't mean what it used to, and keep that going. Retirement means starting a whole new life with amazing activities that will keep you and help you stave off things like depression.
That is so true. Kristen Sonata Walker, CEO of the Mental Health News Radio Network. She's one of the podcasters too. You want to check in there daily, at least weekly, to see what is going on and how you can be helped. Kristen, thank you so much.
I'm a sucker for all this. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a song.
One of the biggest problems that parents and kids can face is bullying. And there's probably no worse feeling than to know your kid is getting it, or maybe even that your kid is the culprit. Dr. Michael Mantel, the author of his latest book, The Link Is What You Think, and the classic, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, P.S. It's All Small Stuff, decided this is what we needed to talk about this week. Doc, what was it that made you, I mean, this is always something, right?
Always. It's interesting you just said that. I was sitting in the room waiting for me to come on.
The green room.
The green room. And I was thinking, why this topic? And yeah. Here's honestly what I thought. Mm-hmm. Our respective faiths, we touch on this on occasion.
Yeah, we're not afraid. This is a show where we can do that. Mm-hmm.
Christianity, Judaism, we believe that we are an image of God. Mm-hmm. And that means we have intrinsic dignity, equality, infinite value, and yet a bully attacks the most sacred object of all, a human being. Mm-hmm. So that's what got me. And then I read somewhere that 160,000 children every day stay away from school because they're afraid of being bullied. The American Journal of Pediatrics says that those who have obesity or overweight children are the most bullied. And I can certainly understand that. So I thought it'd be a great topic to talk about today. 160,000 children stay away from school. And yet, we also know that when a bystander steps in, the bullying stops within 10 seconds.
The bully is a big coward if they're sometimes stood up to, but that's the hardest thing to do. I'm sure you and I remember what it's like. I mean, there are so many times anyone can remember having, you know, physical ailments, stomach pain from being nervous about facing such things, whether you're changing schools. And then I think about, as you say, people who, children who might be a little overweight, or in the past and even now, we know more about autism and Asperger's, people who are a little different, big targets. And in the past, we didn't understand it at all. So if people were different, you know, kids just don't know any better, and we have to do better as parents to teach them, I guess. I don't know. What do you say,
Doc? Well, we're going to go into that. But let's understand there are three B's, the letter B.
Okay.
Three B's. We have the bully, and about 30% of youth say, yes, I've bullied. They're underestimating. Then we have the bullied. One in three kids today say, yeah, I've been a victim of bullies. And then we have the bystander, the bully, the bullied, and the bystander. 70% of youth in elementary and high school say, I've seen it. So if you see it, and we know that within 10 seconds it stops, why isn't it stopping? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important that we talk about this. And now, why are some kids picked on and others not? I'll give you the quick answer. And that's not because I had acne when I was a kid and kids used to call me pimple face and pizza face or this or that or whatever it might be. It's a bully stands out and says, I'm upset that you are picking on me. Bullies don't pick on kids who are not upset. So when you fight back, you're feeding the bully. And what we want to teach children today is how not to do that.
So if you act like you don't care, the bully loses some of its power?
Well, let's show the audience what I mean.
Okay.
Tease me about, oh, your four eyes.
Your four eyes, it's ridiculous. Yeah. How could you?
I know, I mean, look at this. Can you imagine that four eyes? And you know, I can't even see
it's
straight.
It's so funny because a lot of kids think, when I got glasses in high school, I thought it was so cool. And some people think it's cool, but you know, people just need something to bully about, I guess.
Michael, you failed that exam. You're stupid. Oh my goodness, you have no idea how stupid I am. I really am. I mean, you have no idea. It doesn't stop immediately, but the bully runs out of steam. He or she is not being rewarded. So the reason you get bullied is because you say, this will bother me, go ahead, do it to me. I'm gonna go through some things specifically that parents can be aware of. I wanna show one slide to talk about the kinds of bullying that we have today.
Okay.
So let's take a look. The first, we have physical bullying. This is the most prevalent, especially for boys. That's what we think of, hitting, kicking, shoving. Then we have relationship bullies. People who manipulate, you know, I'm gonna not invite you to the party, I'm gonna exclude you, not pick you for the team.
Oh yeah, and then those are tough.
Right, and then we have cyberbullying. And this has become just an abomination. This has become terrible. Involves using electronics to harm others. And we see that all over the place today because it's prolific. We can't put the cell phone down. So we know that today kids are being picked on, teased, pictures are being put up that shouldn't be, and it stays forever. Someone told me that they were at Woodstock, 1969, okay? They had a picture. Well, that picture somehow got picked up and put on the internet, and is following this person around forever. She can't get rid of it. She's, unfortunately.
A lot of people think it's cool they went to Woodstock.
No, this wasn't a great picture, apparently.
Oh, okay, got it.
Okay, it was Woodstock. But we have to look at the fact that cyberbullying is a problem as well. And I want to show the next slide if I can. And that is, parents, you have to pay attention.
Oh, I was going to ask you this, because how do we know? Because kids will try to hide it.
So let me show you a few things that parents can watch for. When your child comes home with damaged pieces of clothing or books, or the backpack is, you know, not there, or has some cuts or bruises, has few, if any, friends that they spend time with, or says, I don't want to go to school today, or Mom, you drive me. I don't want to go on the school bus. Let's go to the next slide. Take a look at this. Finds or makes up excuses why 160,000 children today didn't go to school. They take a long way home when they're going to or from school. They don't want to do schoolwork. I'm doing poorly in school. They appear sad or moody. Amy, most school shooters since Columbine have been victims of bullying. We know that depression, anxiety, and suicide. Suicide amongst children is related to being bullied.
You know, I was someone who had to move around a lot when I was a kid, and by fourth grade, I'd gone to 8 schools.
Oh my goodness.
So I know what it's like to be the new kid. And another thing you can add is stomach pain, where
right.
The kid is, I mean, there are so many manifestations, and parents, you know, it's just hard to know, especially if the child hides it. But these are great tips you've given.
Yeah, I wanna go through a quick little test for you. Okay, so we may not get through all this, but number one, are you a bully? Have you teased kids or been mean to them or made fun of the way they look or speak? You've spread nasty rumors about a kid in school. You've called kids names or humiliated them. You repeatedly teased kids. You've repeatedly kicked or shoved. You spread nasty rumors. You and your friends have intentionally, for no reason, Don't let that child sit at the table with you. These are some ways that people bully kids today. These are real. 160,000 children stayed away from school today because of those behaviors.
And I know we're going to head to a break, but in just 20 seconds, can you? Why do bullies do it? Why do they feel that need? What makes a bully?
B-U-L-L-Y, big, ugly, lonely, loser people who are yearning for attention.
There you go. Well put. Dr. Michael Mantel is the author of The Link Is What You Think, and you certainly remember, don't sweat the small stuff. P.S. It's all small stuff. Thank you so much for Focus on Bullying. We're going to keep you after to find out more about what parents can do and what kind of actions kids can take, because you say if you don't empower that bully and take the steam away, everything can change. So let's try to find out about that when we come right back here on America Trends. We say welcome back to Dr. Michael Mantel, who dedicates his life to helping people unlike, hurt people, from what I understand. It's what they say, doctor. And we're talking about bullying. And it's one of those things that touches everybody, whether it's you, your kids, or friends. And you say there are the bullies, the bullied, and the bystanders, and we can all do something about it. And I know you've got more tips, but I wanted to mention before we get started, we've talked in recent weeks. We had just 10 minutes from our studio in Poway, California, outside San Diego, the synagogue shooting, where a young gunman allegedly, someone went in, but they say allegedly for this kid, 19, right?
Right.
And he went in, and one woman, Lori Kay, lost her life, and others were injured. And there's Lori, just remembered it as, well, she had so many great people in the community had wonderful things to say about her and her dedication and her love for the Lord. But you, Dr. Mantel, were helping to counsel people. And I know just last night they had a Torah scroll ceremony for Lori Kay in Poway. And I know, again, there's the rabbi who was, and her husband, who were all there that day. Mm-hmm. And the other thing about this story, just a little more, her husband started attending to her and realized it was his wife, and wasn't their child. He ran in the room too. There's so much tragedy to this, but and there's some pictures for the celebration last night. Thank you, Control Room, for grabbing those. That's great. How are they doing?
Well, I think they're doing as well as to be expected. The mourning period in Judaism starts with the first couple of days, and then it goes into a week of deep mourning, and then 30 days of mourning, and that's where the family is right now. And then they spend about 11 months continuing to express their sorrow by not being, not engaging in the world in the way we might ordinarily. The community under the rabbi, Rabbi Goldstein, is doing, I believe, exceptionally well. They're bringing light to the most incredibly dark situation. I was in that synagogue, and I had been to the site of almost every major mass shooting in America since McDonald's massacre in San Ysidro, San Diego, in the early 1980s.
Wow. And we also had Santee as a bedroom community, the Santee school shooting years ago.
Right.
That's a bedroom community of San Diego. So you've had a lot of opportunity to help people, sir.
I wrote a book on the subject based on my work with working with the United States Postal Service in the 1980s when post offices were the scene of these shootings.
Go ahead and say the name of the book so people can look it up.
Ticking Bombs?
Yeah.
Defusing Violence in the Workplace. In any case, the point being, when I walked into that synagogue and I saw bullet holes, and I looked around, I saw children running around in the social hall, still, within days after this, I was heartbroken. And even looking at these pictures now, it just takes my breath away. I know we weren't planning to discuss this, but it is still emotional. This synagogue, this group of people, are led by incredibly motivated, loving people. The Goldstein family, the rabbi and his family, are just, I can't say enough about them. They were at the White House speaking to the president. The two people who were very brave, someone who was in the synagogue praying with a gun, went after the shooter. Someone else attacked and stopped it.
Two men that had guns that were the heroes, and this is why you don't outlaw them, you allow the good guys to have them.
Well,
the
key is, with protection, you put the guard outside, not inside. We don't want them to come in the first place. We don't know the full story about the shooter. This is a whole other subject, and that will come. Was he bullied? I don't think so. But was he exposed in social media to all kinds of things? Absolutely. He didn't hear this from his parents. He saw this on social media. And this goes back to the bullying situation. Cyberbullying has become so enormous. I'm going to say this. I don't know too many kids that are not victims in some way of being taunted, teased, harassed.
Just trying to find their
yeah.
way. And just want to say real quick, we just saw Rabbi Goldstein again, his leadership and how he said, no, we're not going to be closed. We're going to keep going because they were there on Passover. These were people who were dedicated.
Right.
And just prayers to Lori Kay's family and friends. And
she has a daughter, Hannah, who is obviously struggling and suffering, but was so eloquent at the funeral. The husband is still, you know, devoting his life, perhaps even more so, to his religion. And I think that they will emerge beautifully from this.
Thank you for attending to them and sharing what's going on and for, you know, trying to help out with other people hurting via bullying or whatever. It's sort of connected. So, and I know you've got more tips for us for kids and families.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm not sure how much time we have.
We've got 2:30.
Perfect. Okay, let's go. Let's put some slides up real quickly. So how do you talk with your children about this situation of bullying? And by the way, lots of this you can just substitute shootings and violence in the world. Hey, honey, I've heard a lot about bullying in the news. Is that going on at your school? Mm-hmm. I'm worried about you. Are there any kids who may be picking on you? Are there any kids who tease you? Any kids who leave you out or exclude you? Mm-hmm. Go to the next one. Don't be afraid to talk to your children about what's happening. And your kids cannot expect to solve these things on their own. Deal with every incident consistently. I want to tell you something. I was once picked on at school. I don't know what grade I was in. I was in elementary school. And some kid took my leather little hat off me and ran around and teased me about the leather flaps.
What a jerk.
My mother went to school, and she had some words to say to that kid. Mm. Now, guess what? He never, ever bothered me again.
That worked.
It worked.
Son of a gun.
So we know that schools must go in and be proactive. Not in a harmful way to the bully, but they need to go into classrooms and say, we don't, zero tolerance. If a bully is bullying, we pull that bully out and we make sure that bully gets attention.
We see you. Cut it out.
Absolutely. Remember, 70-80% of people say we see the bullying, and it stops within 10 seconds as soon as a bystander intervenes.
Steps in. So if you're a bystander and you're fearful, try to work up some courage because you could really help somebody.
Absolutely. We're talking about children who suffer with depression, anxiety, suicidal behavior, kids who don't want to go to school. It affects their lives forever because it creates a story within them that I'm afraid that I'm going to be picked on.
Oh, that's such a shame. Well, I appreciate it. So, did we get through all the slides, sir?
I have one more to show you real quickly.
20 seconds, sure, yeah.
Keep a log of every incident and make sure you go in and talk to the school, contact the school, contact the Board of Education. If the principal, school counselor, administrator won't help you, speak to the PTA, speak up. This is your child's well-being.
And you say it really can diffuse, so err on that side and do speak up. Thank you. DrMichaelMantel.com is where you can find him and his books. And we'll see you next time. Appreciate all you're doing.
Thank you very much.
You bet. I don't know how they get footage of all that. That was some of the best pet video from around the web for our YouTube America TV audience. We also say welcome to our BizTalk radio audience. And you can find us 24/7 on any of our websites and also social media. We sure would like to see you there. Find our former podcast on BizTalk Radio and our featured shows on YouTubeAmerica.com. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are also there and would love to see you there and hang out. And we also say thank you to our guests for this hour. We had Senator Ted Harvey from the Committee to Defend the President with the political headlines of the day. The whole Pelosi, Schumer, and President Trump thing. They're a big brouhaha from yesterday. And the threats of impeachment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to be continued, right? Kristen Sunana Walker of the Mental Health News Radio Network, always appreciating her, and Dr. Michael Mantell, the author of his latest book, The Link is What You Think. Finally, something else that's trending big time, the latest installation of the Terminator series. It is Terminator Dark Fate. Sarah Connor is back. The tagline is, "Welcome to the Day After Judgment Day." Producer James Cameron returns with director Tim Miller for, again, hashtag Terminator Dark Fate in theaters November 1st. Take a look.
Two days ago, I had this nice, simple life. And now it's a nightmare.
Who are you?
My name is Sarah Connor. Never seen one like you before. Almost human.
I am human. Why do you care what happens to her?
Because I was her.